This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Warwick Long on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
And yes, Warwick Long, in the 3 weeks that we haven't been on air together, a lot has happened. Just off the top of my head was, I'm in lockdown, you're not. I'm doing homeschooling, you're not. I'm buying face masks in bulk. I'm not sure what's happening in your neck of the woods, but
we're slightly together on that. I do have a couple of face masks out the side. So there we go. We've found something we can unite with, Rochelle.
It feels like that divide, though. I mean, we talk so often about how big and varied Victoria as a state is, but there really are some major differences now. And in the time that we weren't on air together, we've seen border closures, we've seen our schools go into homeschooling again in parts of Melbourne and in parts of outer Melbourne, and we've seen a bit of angst between city and regional Victoria when it comes to visiting as well, haven't we?
I think we've seen angst in general. I think people have been, and that's one of the things I saw even on my week off, which I've just returned from, is that people are generally anxious to a different level than what we've seen before. And it's understandable in what we're going through. And exactly what you were saying, my parents still live in the Mitchell Shire. My hometown is Broadford. It's an hour down the road. We spent a little bit of time at their place at the start of the holidays. They were looking after some of my kids. We went there and did a bit of mustering, helped mum and dad out with moving some cattle around. And now that it feels like that's another country. They're back in lockdown, and we almost feel like we had that moment, that phone conversation, which so many of us have had, where you go, we'll see in 6 weeks, probably at best, you know, mum and dad or grandma and grandpa or any of that sort of stuff.
How were they with that, Warwick? Because I feel this time around, I'm a little more on edge. And when I say that, I mean that emotionally. I'm a tearier. I'm find myself tearing up at things that make me happy and things that make me sad and things that make me scared a lot easier this time around. And I don't know whether it's because it's really sunk in that we don't know when this is going to end. And the longevity and the relentlessness of coronavirus as a part of our everyday lives now has really hit home. Many of us that are out there working day in, day out, have probably felt like we've been at the front line more than others. And I'm not talking about those in the healthcare sector here, because that is sort of a given. The doctors and the nurses, we know that they're putting their own health first when it comes to ensuring that Victorians are as safe as possible. But today on the Conversation Hour, we actually want to focus on another set of frontline workers. Previously, we looked at truck drivers and how they felt that maybe they were undervalued throughout the pandemic, how they had to keep working around the clock to ensure that we had food, that we had all of the supplies. So today, we want to look and focus at our supermarket workers. There is a cluster at a supermarket in Essendon that there are now 6 workers in that particular area. And supermarket workers, from those that stack the shelves, work on the checkouts, are helping ensure that we have all of the stock and the supplies that we need. They've been there, haven't they? Right from the beginning, before we sort of knew how long and how intense this virus was going to be, before we had all of the precautions in place, like the screens that we see now, when we're talking about wearing face masks in our state, when people are choosing not to wear them and not wear them in a supermarket, for example, the places where we see social distancing not practiced as much as it should, when people are touching and picking up everything, there are teams of people in these supermarkets that must be feeling so tired, so frustrated, and let's face facts, maybe even a little bit scared as well. I mean, I don't know how your supermarkets are faring in regional Victoria at the moment, but at a time when you can't hug anyone, I've never wanted to hug complete strangers more in my entire life. And that is every single person that works at my local supermarket.
Oh, that's what I really like about you, Rochelle. That's great empathy, though. It is. It's a tough job. You look at people scanning your groceries in a different way at the moment. Are you one of those people? Have you been working at a supermarket in any capacity, whether you're stacking shelves or you're at the front where people are literally buying things from you? We'd love to hear from you about that role today and what that has been like. And have you been going there? Do you have a new appreciation from something that you've probably walked past, somebody you've probably walked past so unconsciously with a million different things on your mind in the past. So you're looking at them in a different way now and talking to the person who scans your groceries in a different way now than you used to. We'd love to hear from you today. Rochelle, what's your experience like at the supermarket lately?
Well, I have noticed we have a wonderful little small supermarket and the same workers have been there. So one thing that's made me quite happy is that no one appears anyhow from anecdotally to have lost work. But we have young workers, we have workers that have possibly learning disabilities as well, and we have older workers and we have a lot of older female workers. And there was an older woman at the door because now it's all gone back into high level, principles again where numbers are being clicked and people are being checked at the door. Entrances and exits are in place. And there's a lovely lady and she was click, 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 click. And I looked at her and I said, oh, here we are again. She turned to me, she said, oh, sweetie, my daughter's about to give birth in 3 days and I can't see her. And, you know, at 1.5 metres apart, we just had a bit of a chat. And at the same time, she was still sanitising and wiping down the little red baskets so that we could pick them up and feel safe when we were able to take them off for our groceries. And it just hit me that they have been there throughout all of this. And every day going to work, you know, no one expects that when you work at a supermarket, to be on the front line, to be possibly abused because somebody can't get toilet paper, to feel like someone is standing too close, to have to separate people, to have to ask people to stand back, and to just look at people in a different light day in, day out. And that's what our supermarket workers have been doing for months now. It's incredible, isn't it?
Oh, completely. I got yelled at yesterday in the supermarket by another customer who just thought I was taking too long to pick, of all things, hand sanitizer. I was just trying to grab the right one, Rochelle, and I got the big excuse me from behind that I was, you know, clearly I thought I was off to the side of the aisle, but clearly I was taking too long. And it did make me think about the anxiety level and just how people are on edge and then what's that like to actually work there. So that's what we'd like to talk about today.
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour.
With Rochelle Hunt and Warwick Long.
Either if you work in a supermarket, maybe you have a brother, a sister, a partner, a mum or a dad that is working in a supermarket, and what are they telling you as well? And as a customer, how has that experience changed for you? Are you putting on your face masks now? Are you being nicer? Are you keeping your distance? Are you getting frustrated? All of those things. Emma's called us. She's actually in South Australia. Emma, what's changed for you throughout the pandemic about supermarkets?
Oh, hi. Yes. Well, I was working at the supermarket here in Robe when the virus first hit. And I'm a single mum, and it was... Not knowing what to do and how I wore a mask and got abused by customers, and it was just an extremely difficult time. I didn't know if the person walking past me had corona. Nobody knew anything, and they wouldn't put screens up, and there was no social distancing. And what I actually left, I couldn't work there any longer. Employees as well, you sort of, if you wear gloves or a mask back then, you were sort of ridiculed and made a bit of a joke of, and still nobody wears gloves or masks here anymore. They don't, they just don't. And it's,
I got this right in that you left this job because you felt unsafe and you felt undervalued?
Absolutely unsafe. I didn't know what they didn't know what to do with the pandemic, so they didn't have any answers for the staff. So I've just felt scared for my life and taking anything home to my daughter, because, you know, it was just there were people coming in touching everything, and then we had to go and restock and touch exactly what they touch. It's just, yeah, I take my hat off and thank every supermarket attendant, trolley person. I think they are doing an absolute fantastic job. It's a very difficult, stressful situation for them.
What is huge stress you put on yourself, though? I mean, do you have work now, Emma?
No, I'm unemployed. I'm unemployed, and it has been very hard. But, I mean, it's not just me, it's everybody. And I just think if we could all do the same thing, it's not a lot, you know, just if we all do the same thing. It's just a few things, stay home, social distance, you know, wear a bloody mask. Let's get through it. We can't keep going on like this, because it's not good. It's not going to be very good for children growing up, you know, mentally. It's the stress, it's anxiety. Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible situation. But we will get through it if we all do the same thing.
Oh, Emma, well, good luck to you. And thank you so much for being willing to call and share your experience. We hope you get another job soon. Emma in Robe in South Australia, which almost feels like another country at the moment too when we're talking about restrictions and so forth. Rochelle, an amazing tough position to put yourself in to decide the job. Yeah.
I mean, this is what I was talking about earlier was, I mean, just listening to Emma there, I had to sort of brace every part of my being to not tear up. And I think Emma is like all of us, we're on edge at the moment, and to have to leave your job because you don't feel safe, and to, I guess, as a customer now, think about your responsibility. I mean, there's a text here from Mark in Geelong that says, I'm so disappointed with our local supermarket. They have removed all of the social distancing stickers that they had on the floor. They've reversed some of the things that they've implemented in this last 2 weeks prior, and now reopening as the state. They've even now got their measures. They're not as strict as they previously were. So that's from Mark in Geelong. So it'd be good to know, was, depending on where your supermarket is, you know, what rules have they got in place and how does it make you feel?
And just really what the experience is like going there at the moment too. I think even my just getting yelled at for taking too long to pick something, I think that's something we're all noticing at the moment. Would love to know your experiences. Another text here from Pete in Ringwood who says, a shout out to my airline pilot and cabin crew buddies who are currently stood down but picking up shifts at supermarkets to help pay the mortgage. Pete in Ringwood, thanks for that text. And that's another thing we don't think about is the extra jobs that have been needed to stack shelves and keep items moving out of supermarkets have been a safety net for some people in industries that are, well, dramatically affected, like the airline industry. Jeffrey Russell is a night manager at the Cobram Woolworths, so on that border territory at the moment, Rochelle, and can join us now. Jeffrey, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
What's it been like for you over the last few months, Jeffrey? You know, do you need a big hug right now?
I noticed that you said about a hug with the other workers and that. I think that's everyone's doing it really. They're doing it hard. We've seen a bit of panic buying up here lately due to the holidays. But now that everyone's on lockdown in Melbourne, we can't get the tourists to come up anymore. Things are starting to drop off last couple of days. But the front end people that work on the cash registers, if you go down there now during the daytime, all the registers are going. We still got a few people in the town still that have gone back to Melbourne. I don't know where, or they might have come over from the border. It's testing times. So like the other night, I finished at 3 o'clock in the morning, which I usually do, and we had the late delivery that comes at 10 past 2 in the morning with their grocery load. So the truck drivers are doing it hard as well to meet the deadlines, and deliveries have been pushed back because of demand. There's this huge scale of loads that are huge to work, and it's testing time for everybody out there.
And has that been hard, just keeping things on the shelf, Jeff, when people are coming in and wanting things like milk and, as we all know earlier, toilet paper and things like that? Was that where there was a lot of frustration and then stress for you to try and make sure it was there?
Well, we've got huge volumes at our store. Toilet paper we're not short of. The problem we got, like I said, we've had some panic buying where we've had groups come in. Because there's a limit on stock, you know, one person will buy two, the next one will buy two, and they're actually together. So we see a lot of, like, huge volumes of stuff, and then by the afternoon, it's all gone. It's all empty. And then you come in and asking, well, do you have any toilet paper? Well, you've just missed out. We're just seeing that because, like I said, at 2:30 or 10 past 2 in the morning, getting a late truck, they happen to fill the shelves first thing in the morning, and everything's up by about 12 or 11 in the next day, which is not ideal because we like to do everything at night, and it makes it more safer, like you're saying about getting in contact with the public. I also do duty on weekends, so I see frustration with some customers. But we've been pretty good where I am. The social distancing has been pretty good. We have a person on the that counts people that come in during the day to how many people can be in the store, because we have a limit of 200. So we're following the rules of that, but you get a lot of elderly customers that are too scared to go out, and they haven't got anybody else to do their shopping for them. Mm. And also because of the new border laws now, with people coming over from the border, it's just made a bit more difficult. But,
and obviously, Cobram's a much bigger town than Baruga too, so you have a lot of people desperately wanting to come to Cobram, I reckon. I wanted to ask you about the extra cleaning and just all that sort of stuff that you have to worry about. But I'm in Shepparton, Jeff, and I went to the supermarket on the weekend. I don't think I saw one mask, maybe one. And my friend in Melbourne was talking to me saying, oh, well, I reckon about 60% of the people in the supermarket they were in, which is fairly close to the inner city, were wearing masks. Do you see much sort of protective equipment used by many of your customers at the moment?
The customers I have where I am, but mostly the elderly. So I've seen a few customers wear masks, and I've seen a lot of women come in with gloves, with the... they're like washing up gloves, disposable gloves, and they've been using that. So it's like, I suppose, like you said, you're in Shepparton. I suppose it might be a different demographic of, of
people. Is there any good news out of this just finally, Geoffrey? Geoffrey Russell is with you. He's the night manager at Cobram Woolworths. I mean, for every person that's doing the wrong thing or getting a little bit testy and aggressive, are people maybe doing nice things? Are you seeing signs of people looking out for each other and at least being polite and thankful of your staff?
Yep, there has. There's been some cards that have come into the store thanking us. Also, as an industry, we're actually doing a lot of good out there. The food bank thing with the people in the towers, we've got some thank yous out of that, which is good. So, locally, we're trying to support the other businesses in the town too by. Like my Phil crew at night, we've put on pizzas, but we've got it from the local pub across the road. We're trying to support as much as we can, because these are really hard times out there, and we're trying to get through it all together. So.
Absolutely. And Geoffrey, we wish you all the best. Who would have thought that we would be living through something like this in our lifetime, where as a manager in a supermarket, you are having to manage things that we never thought possible. So stay safe, and thank you so much for joining us. Geoffrey Russell is the night manager at Cobram in Woolworths. We're talking about supermarket workers today, from all of the jobs that they have to do, all of the rubbish that they have to put up with. But hopefully there's some good that's coming out of this as well. You do wonder and worry sometimes about the long-term mental health implications that this job will have on people that work in supermarkets. There's a text here that says a shout out to the youngsters working. They've had their school disrupted, their sport taken away, and they're still going to work. And the best way to support them is to observe the specific rules at the supermarket and follow them and thank the youngsters every time. That's from Catherine. And Catherine, good point. You know, from the young to the old are being employed in our supermarkets, and they've just had everything thrown at them at the moment, haven't they?
And often this job we're talking about today, in all of its forms, is such a thankless job too. So I'd imagine a thank you would mean a lot. Let's go to Werribee, where Darren is called. Darren, welcome to the conversation. Now, what would you like to say?
How are you, mate? Last night I had to go out and do some shopping. I did some shopping for my mum and for my mother-in-law, who both are staying in. And the message, I don't think, is getting through. I drove past three supermarkets to find the one that had the least amount of cars in it. They were all chock-a-block. Went into the supermarket. I finished up in Trugger 9, one of the worst areas. I had a mask on. There was groups of fours and sixes walking around the supermarket. Mum, Dad and the kids were walking around the supermarket. And there was about less than 10% of people with masks on. But what I found the strangest is when I got to the checkout, and it was in one of the big two supermarkets, there's a sign says, as of the 1st of July, we'll start repacking your bags. Now, I handed over my bag, not even thinking about it. They haven't even changed their policy. And only about half of the supermarket staff had masks on.
And what should we do in terms of changes of policy, Darren? I mean, there's been some ideas that have just come through on text and calls saying, you know, do we need to stagger the times? Do we need to limit the amount of people? So no children, for example, allowed in. What changes would you like to see made to supermarkets so that it's a safer experience, not only for the customers, but for the people that work there?
Stop the groups of fours and sixes going into the supermarket. All right, maybe two at the most, but most people should be able to shop on their own, surely.
Yeah, unless you're elderly and you need assistance. Hey, Darren, good to hear from you.
Thanks, Thea.
Darren there in Werribee. Have you done that, Rochelle? I've done the drive past a supermarket and seen way too many cars in the car park and went, oh, I don't know, I think I'll go.
I must admit, right, and this is maybe a little bit passive aggressive, I have to say here on my behalf, is that when I've been in the supermarket and I've seen an aisle, and admittedly, I did have my daughter with me because I had no option. There was no, you know, my husband couldn't look after her and I had to take her to the supermarket during school holidays. I got to the end of an aisle and I saw that it was chock-a-block, that there was just too many people in the aisle, and I did say kind of out loud, let's not go down this aisle, honey. There's too many people in it. Let's choose a different aisle. But it's so tricky. And our supermarket isn't too full, but I'm sort of going at off-peak times. So that maybe isn't the best indication.
And you've got to make those decisions and what you're comfortable with within the rules that are set for us. And I suppose that's the interesting thing. Liz on the text says, hello there. My suggestion concerning masks and shopping, supermarkets and large stores have one dedicated register for resistors. I'm using the inverted commas there. And all other registers for masked customers. That's the idea from Liz. You can make of that what you will. Katrina's in Geelong. Welcome, Katrina. What would you like to say?
I've got a 20-year-old son who's like 6 foot, built like a tank, and has worked at Woolies right through this. Had a huge number of hours because the demand's been massive. But after the first lot, when they had the first product limit, they actually had to take items off people, say you can't have these. I have never seen my 20-year-old so devastated by anything. They'd had people that were snarling at them. They'd had people that were snatching at their arms. They'd had security in. And a lot of these kids, they are kids, and they've never seen anything like this before, because we've never seen anything like this before either.
Katrina, I wonder, and I'm saying this in all seriousness here, and it sounds a little bit over the top, but do you worry about the long-term impacts that this will have on your son? Because we're going to actually speak to the Retail Association in just a moment about, you know, what sort of duty of care there is and what almost post-traumatic stress people will have down the track from having to rock up front up to work every day, feel unsafe and be treated the way that your son's been treated.
Well, I've got 7 kids, so the impact is affecting, like, all of mine very differently, very differently. And there's 7 kids aged between 15 and 25. So I've got ones that work at Macca's as well, and they've all showed up to work every time too. And then I've got one who's a paramedic. So I've got the broad spectrum at
You've got them all, don't you? You've got the actual, it's not a great line, so we're going to let you go, but you've got the actual front line, and then I guess the newly formed front line was those that are working in fast food and supermarkets, and then a paramedic. So you know, Emma's got it from all angles.
20 years old, built like a tank, working at a supermarket. His experiences the last few months will change how he views life for the rest of his life. That is just incredible to think about. It's so obvious, and everyone's probably going, yeah, duh, at their radio right now. But it is just to stop and think about that for a moment is incredible, and to hear that from a mum is amazing. Probably a good time to bring in Paul Zara, who is the CEO of the Australian Retailers Association, to the program. Paul, welcome to the conversation now.
Good morning.
Paul, what measures are currently in place for the well-being of people that are working in retail and have almost been labelled frontline workers now?
Yes, so most of the bigger retailers, the vast majority would have what they call an employee assistance program, where employees have a direct access via a hotline to discuss any particular issues that they may be dealing with. I mean, we are seeing during this pandemic, of course, the worst of human behaviour, but also the best of human behaviour. So it's quite a mixed bag, of course. So we are concerned as employers as well how we navigate our way through this, and particularly the supermarkets. I think there's no way they've had, no doubt at all, they've actually had to lead the change through this pandemic because they've traded right through.
So I suppose then when we look at what we've been through now, and workers particularly in Victoria now looking at months more of this, as an industry, what are you watching for, or what are you trying to do to look after those workers for the next few months?
Well, we obviously, being in a retail environment, you're dealing with the general public. So as part of normal training, staff are trained on how to deal with customer complaints. But as I said earlier, we are seeing abuse probably at a different level. The pandemic's heightened a lot of issues for the industry, or for many industries, of course, and the retail industry particularly has had a spotlight across the pandemic for essential service workers. So, you know, what we do say to retail workers, if they're in a situation where they're copying abuse, that they've got, you know, they shouldn't certainly not stand for it. They should escalate the issue very quickly to there's always a store manager on duty in any store that's operated, so then the store manager can actually deal with the issue fairly quickly. And that may involve calling security or equally the police if it's too abusive. We've worked very closely with the SDA, who's the frontline shop assistant union, on a campaign they called No One Deserves a Serve campaign. And what we were surprised, the research, this was done before the pandemic, but the research said that 88% of respondents have been subject to verbal abuse. So that's concerning for the industry, and we're focused on predominantly around training and support.
I mean, and we're seeing this. We got an email from Dan Murphy's, which shows you what's happening in our household just quietly. But a part of that email said, please don't abuse, this wasn't to us personally, it was a general email, but please don't abuse our staff. And I really just thought, gosh, what on earth has happened to our world when that is at the top of the email, to say, please treat our staff with dignity and respect and do not yell or abuse our staff. Just finally, we heard it from Emma at the top of the program, who's a single mum, was working in a supermarket as a way to make ends meet. That was her job. That was her primary income. And due to the stress that she felt from COVID-19 in her workplace, she left and she's now unemployed. Mm. How many people are leaving the industry?
Well, look, that's I'm sorry to hear that for a start. It wouldn't be unique, but equally there is pressure all around. There's people that are unemployed, they're under pressure. There's people that are employed that are under pressure. So the pandemic has heightened all of these issues. So I'm not a mental health expert, of course, but you know, we do want to make sure that people are getting help. There's certainly government based support, but equally that people should find the support that they need to get through this particular pandemic. And it goes beyond just workers, of course. So it's not unique, unfortunately.
Well, Paul Zara, thank you very much for joining us today.
Welcome.
That's the CEO of the Australian Retailers Association, Paul Zara, joining us to talk about sort of the wider industry view. Here's some of the text coming in, though. I couldn't be prouder of my 16-year-old son, who has worked at the coalface in a Woolies deli through this. Extraordinary, says one parent. Thank you very much for your text. Another one says, G'day, Rochelle and Wazza. I work for one of the big supermarket chains in the petrol station division. I'd say the company have been pretty good, supportive and providing equipment, etc. What's worrying me, though, is about 30% of the customers are just not taking this all seriously enough. Haven't been since March. Forget the idea of protests / hotels causing the spike. There are so many people that have just never got the message, says Peter on the text.
30%, yeah, I mean, I think I've seen even less, sort of more profound numbers than that in the areas where I'm shopping and what I'm looking at as well. To try and find a little bit of a glass half full here, or to at least think about what we can do, you know, how can we reverse and change this? Dr. Catherine Barrett is the founder and director of the Kindness Pandemic, a pandemic that we want to have, and has put some of her campaigns towards supermarkets in the past and is now looking at face masks as well. Catherine, welcome to the Conversation Hour. Why did you need
an invitation?
Why did you need a campaign for supermarkets? What were you seeing?
Well, that was way back in March when, you know, this became really very serious, or it was apparent that it was very serious. What we saw was the people panic buying, and you know, there were one or two fights in supermarkets, and people who were working in supermarkets were being abused by customers. And that was particularly around the restrictions that came in. And so one of the that was the trigger really for setting up the kindness pandemic was really around recognizing that there are a lot of people who are doing the right thing, and we need to focus on that as well too, because it grows it. It makes the good stuff grow.
So I suppose now when we turn our eyes to face masks, that's become the hot issue of the last sort of week or so, and we've already seen so many people make commentary on what they're seeing in supermarkets as part of this. Why are you why are you focusing on face masks now?
Well, for the reasons that you've been talking about. I mean, Emma from South Australia, that, you know, the challenges for her, I get that, were, you know, the single mum who left the supermarket work because of the uncertainty and the potential risk. And at one level, there's you know, potential rudeness of customers. But the other issue is that for people who are working in supermarkets, who are there making sure that we have the supplies that we need, are potentially at risk, and you know, we need to take steps to protect people who are working in supermarkets. That's an act of kindness, and it's not about just protecting ourselves and protecting the people that we love, but it's also incredibly important because in a lot of supermarkets you can't do the required 1.5 metres that is in Victoria for physical distancing. You can't. And we know with the science that's come out as well too about the way coronavirus works is that that it can remain airborne. So you could be walking into a virus without even seeing it. And that's what supermarket workers are doing as well too. So wearing a mask in a supermarket is our latest version of kindness in supermarkets. And we're asking everybody to wear a mask when they go to the supermarket and keep them like you do with the supermarket shopping bags, remembering the supermarket, the reusable bags. You have one with you, you know, in your bag or in the car. You have one with you all the time. Do the same with a face mask and make sure you wear one in supermarkets.
And I think most importantly, remember to be kind. This is something that we can all do throughout this. And I know it's tricky for many of us when we are stressed out of our brains, but be kind. The Kindness Pandemic, you can check them out. You can come up and follow their hashtags, or you can go to their website as well, which is kindnesspandemic.org. Dr. Catherine Barrett, founder and director of the Kindness Pandemic, thank you so much for joining us on the Conversation Hour. Was this is an interesting text. It's from Matthew in Geelong saying, I find parents with kids just aren't getting their message to their kids numerous times at the shops. Kids are running around, bumping into people. No attempt by the parents to keep them away from other people. It really is poor behaviour. That's from Matthew in Geelong. And that's a fine line, isn't it, too? Because I even say to my daughter, don't do this, don't do that, stand back, stand here, don't touch this, don't touch that. And how do you find the balance between getting her to do the right thing and not freaking her out? And scarring her for life.
And some people don't get the option of leaving their kids behind too. We need to be cognizant of that, especially single parents and so forth as well. But also there is that line of trying to keep your young one in line. And if you're not seeing that sometimes, I can see how you would be frustrated by that. Let's quickly head to Lee, who's in Brunswick. Hi, Lee. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much. I just want to say that I was made aware of just how much the supermarket staff need our support because there were some rather insolent older boys that came in and I was asking for directions to find some bath salts, and they were asked to leave their rucksacks at the front desk, and they were just very insolent and went on. Well, that kind of lit the fuse of this particular grumpy old woman, and I told them off and so forth. And later on, the woman sort of said, oh, thank you so much. And I said, oh, why? And she said, I have to put up with this sort of thing all the time, every day. And it was just so nice to be supported, and you can be my next security officer. We had a laugh about that. Well, she told everybody at the checkouts, and as I was going upstairs in the lift, they were all looking at me and smiling and waving, and they thought it was just Christmas. So all I'd like to say is, you know, show support, show gratitude, because it really is appreciated and needed.
Oh, Lee, couldn't have said it better. Thank you very much for your call. And, well, it certainly sounds like your actions were very much appreciated by the staff in the supermarket.
I think this is the thing was, isn't it, today, that this is what we suspected, and it's quite heartbreaking to hear that we've got parents of children that are breaking down, that we have people that are leaving and quitting their jobs purely because of how fearful they are, the way they're being treated in supermarkets. This is one thing that we can all do. You know, we can just be nicer and we can play by the rules and we can wear a mask and we can just help those people that are now labelled emergency workers, frontline workers, to not feel all of those things, because it's just not fair.
For so many of us, it's our only trip out of the house. Be kind to the people that you see there as much as you can.
That's it for the Conversation Hour today. If you've ever missed the Conversation Hour, please subscribe. Conversation Hour at the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want us to meet someone or talk about something, then you can email us, conversationhour@abc.net.au. Take care and we'll speak with you soon.